This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris. He is a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. He's a longtime terrorist expert as well as a Middle Eastern expert, and we want to get his thoughts on the upcoming Mideast summit plan for here in Washington in the coming days, as well as we want to get his thoughts on the end of the U.S. combat mission in Iraq. Just how much have we accomplished, and how concerned should we be about the Iraqi capability to secure their own country moving forward? And Dr. Faris, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me today, Greg.
Some folks were a little bit surprised at the timing of this planned summit announced by Hillary Clinton last week. We've got Benjamin Netanyahu, Mahmoud Abbas. We've got the neighbors of Egypt and Jordan there. Tony Blair's going to be there, the president, and Secretary Clinton, of course. What do you make of the timing? Do you sense that there's somewhat of a thawing in this impasse, or is this more political?
It is absolutely strategically political. I don't see any breakthrough in terms of the substance of the negotiations. But at this point in time, both the U.S. administration, but also now at this point, the Israelis and maybe the Palestinians and their allies, the Arab moderates, they all want to send a message to one party in the Middle East, and that is Iran, that there will be a sort of a beginning of a track of negotiations again, and that the real security problem should not be the Arab-Israeli confrontation, but the Iranian nukes. So I think behind that whole construct, what you see is more of a procedural consensus on the necessity of going back to the table of negotiations. The real goal of it is to isolate the Iranians from the rest of political activities in the region.
When we talk about the others who are involved in this, Abbas and Mubarak and Abdullah, my guess is, as you pointed out, that none of them want Iranians to have the nuclear power. But what can they do about it?
Well, first of all, it's important to see that the map is still around. I mean, over the past 6 months, have we not seen Iran maneuvering along with Syria, and that brought in for the first time a new member of the alliance, the Erdogan Islamic AKP party of Turkey. Qatar has been playing and maneuvering with that new axis. So it seems that the Arab moderates, including mostly Egypt, the Arab League, and Jordan, but behind them, one can say that the Saudis as well, wanted to show that they are the ones who decide on, you know, backing the peace negotiation with the Israelis through Mahmoud Abbas. So it's an Arab endorsement of Mahmoud Abbas versus the Iranian endorsement of Hamas and Hezbollah.
So this is going to be a whole lot more about Iran than it will be about any sort of negotiating over boundaries or anything else related to a two-state solution.
It seems to me that they are getting together to discuss Iran under the aegis of discussing Israel and the Palestinians. But there will be, certainly, propositions made by the Obama administration to both sides, Israel under Netanyahu and the Palestinians under Mahmoud Abbas. You and I have discussed it for the last 6 years, and all of us have been waiting for that breakthrough for the last 30 years. I don't think the timing now is good, but what they're trying to do and trying to achieve is to isolate and neutralize Iran so that the Palestinians and Israelis would eventually, in the near future, begin their real negotiations.
Dr. Faris, you bring up a very interesting issue here, and I think it's one that most of the mainstream media doesn't talk about, and it's these emerging rival Middle Eastern coalitions among Muslim nations. Obviously, the ones that will be at this summit are more of the ones, obviously, that we would want to align with when it comes to the Iranian nuclear issue. And then, of course, they're the ones that the Iranians are aligned with. Which coalition is likely to have the greatest leverage moving forward here?
You know, that's a great question. It is really going to depend on what Washington is going to do about it, what the Obama administration, the leader of the free world, is going to do about supporting this or other coalition, or at least about strongly supporting Mahmoud Abbas, Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, maybe the King of Saudi Arabia with certain conditions, Kuwait, Iraq. These are all Arab moderate governments and regimes that the Obama administration will have to back and support clearly, but announcing also that the policies of the Iranian regime and their allies in the region are not a policy that America is going to be supporting. So it's really going to be who the international community, led by the United States, is going to be supporting that would actually, you know, make the day for either one or the other coalitions in the region.
Dr. Faris, could we actually get to the point as we get closer to an Iran with nuclear weapons where some of these more moderate Arab states, at least the ones that don't want Iran to have nukes, might be okay, at least privately, with Israel doing what it has to do militarily?
They are never going to say it. They are never going to even, you know, let anybody else say it on their behalf. But if Israel would be engaged in an action against Iran, if conditions are met, and that's only something the Israelis will have to think about, it because the Iranian reaction also is going to be on a regional and international scale, and you have the whole Israeli-American discussion about it. But let's suppose that one of the scenarios is going to be an Israeli strike on the Iranian infrastructure, nuclear infrastructure. The Saudis, the Egyptians, the Kuwaitis, the Jordanians, and the Moroccans knows very well that if the international community or any player in the region is not going to stop the Iranians are going to go all the way and try to influence these governments and eventually at one point bring them down. So the game is very clear here.
Let's talk about one of those nations that you pointed out the Americans hope that will be part of the effort to stop Iran, and that's Iraq. Obviously, the United States has spent the last 7 years there, a whole lot of blood and treasure. Our combat mission is about to end, and while we'll still have 50,000 troops there, the security operations and the political apparatus will obviously be in the hands of the Iraqis. How good of a situation have we left for the Iraqis?
It is only what Washington will decide over the next, I'd say, 1 to 2 years that would help the Iraqis do what they have to do. And it's only up to the Iraqis on the political level to decide. And I am going to clarify quickly. Leaving behind 50,000, including troops that can defend Iraq if there is a threat on behalf of Iran or of Syria, is not to be minimized. It's really about what Washington would like to do. If the Iraqis would request more support, technological support, and more importantly, political support, including putting the real pressure on the Iranian regime, on the Syrian regime, then most likely the Iraqi have the assets, have also the determination to try to contain the Iranian influence. But if we lack, if here in Washington we lack that intention and we will say, well, we're not going to meddle between Iraq and Iran as we did between Iran and Iran, the Iranian protesters at the time, then it won't look good for Iraq.
Last question, Dr. Farris. Do you suspect a rise in attempted terrorist attacks through AQI or other radical elements in Iraq now that so many of our troops have left?
See, the Iranians or al-Qaeda, their strategy is not to invade permanent positions of neither the Iraqi army or the American remaining forces. What they are trying to do and will try to do, we've seen it over the past few weeks, is to escalate their strikes to a certain level, trying to provoke sectarian fights and or to try to reach out to the remaining American forces by way of terror. Now, it's really up to the determination of the Iraqis to respond, to be united, and to request whenever they need an action by the Americans. They're very selective, surgery kind of activities. If the Iraqis have a leadership that can do that, I think the American remaining forces would be extremely helpful on the long run to train the Iraqis and to defeat the purpose of both al-Qaeda or the Iranians. If the Iraqis do not produce a government that can oversee the operations, then it's going to be a slow descent towards chaos.
Dr. Farris, unfortunately, that has to be the last word. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Waleed Farris, terrorism expert, Middle East expert, senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.